So, do you remember how I was telling you about that when I was in Brooklyn with my buddy Jamie?
Yeah,
So
sure.
his brother, I don't know if it was something they wanted to do for a long time, but he's been brewing his own beer for a while, and then
Oh.
he went on these internships. I want to call them internships. I don't know if that's 100% correct, but like with like some brewing company in Boston, and then he went to Lagunitas for a while. I think he was there for like 6 or 7 months.
Interesting.
But he did all sorts of he's done all sorts of crazy stuff, and I keep waiting to hear that he's going to Utah and he's gonna be working with Coach. He's gonna be working
Yeah.
with Michael Palak. That'd be pretty rad
What was
to
that?
see
Was
that.
that one magazine where they had the interview with Mike and they went out there?
I think I know one did one, and I know Brian Kranz did an interview with him, but
Hmm.
I don't know if that was because Palak was out visiting California,
Right.
or if Kranz was in Utah or something like that. But that was really cool to be able to hear that and to see the stuff that he's doing. And I think it's is he with High West
Ooh, I don't
Distillery
know.
and Brewery?
I don't know.
Because if he's with High West, and they have a lot of rising bourbons that I want to try.
Huh.
But I don't really want to spend the money on 6 or 7 different bottles of booze.
Yeah. There's a lot of the Crayons podcasts that I have to catch up on. I just haven't had enough hours in the day. Like, there's so many podcasts out now.
Yeah, so we're just contributing to the problem, really, when it comes down to it.
Well, it's not a bad problem to
I was just gonna make that same point.
have.
So I brought up a topic to you the other day when I was at work with the Classic Thrones and the fake juice.
Yeah.
And what made me think of that, to be honest, I'm not even sure how I got onto that line of thinking to begin with, but I was looking at my welding hood and I realized like I have the only stickers I have on this thing are all rollerblade companies or
Neat.
people that have to do with rollerblading.
Neat.
So I have my like the picture that's on my Skype there. You see the I got the Super S on the chin. On the top, I've got a sticker I got from Robert Leivanos.
Awesome.
I have a
So cool.
rollerblade sticker on there. And what made me think of this is I also have Brody Chaparral Builds sticker on there, and he's the guy. Like anytime someone says Classic Thrones, I think of him and what he does with fake juice. So essentially, what he does is he cuts apart the heel plates to make what looks like a little juice thing there, so it looks different.
Huh.
But it's not like he's not the only one that does it. Richard does it. Demetrius George did it. And Demetrius George actually did like a little tutorial about it.
Huh.
He had like a black boot with I think maybe a yellow heel and a white cutout kind of thing. But it looked really neat. And like it just for some reason it popped up in my head. I was like, oh, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
But what Brody also does is he takes the extra large heel plates from the old 3-piece UFS throne soles, the UHMW ones, and he cuts those up and then carves out parts of his classic throne soles
Huh.
and then uses that. So he gets like a legitimate juice system out of it.
That's pretty cool.
Well, borderline legitimate. Like you got the faster sole, but you don't have the bevel like you did with the juice.
Got it. Yeah, that.
Do you know how long it took me to realize that juice was actually that bevel and it wasn't just a UHMW heel? It
Yeah.
was embarrassingly long.
I think that was a John Julio thing when we first made those plates, like on the old, Majestic 12s or whatever the heck they were. And he told Jess that he's feeling the juice. Like,
Oh, yeah.
and that was like, oh, well, there you go. It's a juice system. And that's why, the video was called Juice and we got registered feelthejuice.com. And it was all, I mean, my email was law at feelthejuice.com for many, many years.
Oh, that's awesome. That must have been fun to try to explain to people.
Yeah, we because 50-50 wasn't really a even when we started and we were pretty early on getting online, the domain name was already snatched up. So we had 50-50, so it was FIFTY hyphen 50, but it was
Okay.
like how do you say that, So we always used Feel the Juice and we would redirect the Feel the Juice domain to the 50-50 domain, or we had it hosted for the video during that time. And it's really hard to not understand feelthejuice.com. Like you could say that in a loud bar and everybody would get it. I don't know that they would get it, but they would know what I said.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that was the juice system. I got a text from or an Instagram message from a guy who needed some old 50/50 UFS bolts, and he was riding old thrones, old UFS thrones, and I don't know how he found me, but he just reached out, and I'm like, sure, like I got a couple frame bolts left over. I don't know why we made those the frame bolt mounting section so tight. It really didn't need to be that tight, but I mean, it was a different time. We just didn't know any better, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, really, when it comes down to it, I think the only other frame that was like that was physics. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, I might be remembering that differently. But I'm sure that with that design, with the extra material around there, there's added rigidity and strength in that mount. But I could be way out in left field on that one.
I mean, I guess, but there's a point where you over-engineer a frame, where there's just too much stuff going on in there.
For sure.
I mean, I compare that to the Wish frame, and there's nothing in that UFS area. It's like super minimal, and it works great. But maybe it's because the wheels. I don't really know. Maybe it's because the H block is so big and the wheels are so far split that it gives it more support. But yeah, we always wanted just that big beefy arch around the frame bolts, and I 20 years later, I question why we did that, because I don't think we ever had anybody break any frames there. You know, you'd always break frames by grinding through the H block, but that's about it.
Yeah, unless you're skating Kaiser Streams.
I never skated those.
I had those right before I got my physics frames, and I went through like three or four pair. I bought them at Skate Pile.
Uh-huh. Ooh, Skate Pile. I put them on. There you go.
Yeah, I put them on. I skated them flat, and the very first trick that I tried, I snapped the H block right down the middle.
No, no.
So, for some reason, I actually brought my stock TRS frames with me. So I still was able to skate. So I called up Skate Pile and talked to Aaron, and I was like, "This is what happened." And she's like, "Send them back."
Yeah.
She was like, "However you send them to me, I'm going to send you back your frames."
Yeah.
So I was overnighting these frames back to them. And they sent me two other pair, and then when I broke the third one, they were just like, "Do you just want a different set of frames?" I was like, "You know what? Yeah,
yeah.
What do you got?" They're like, "Well, we have these new physics frames in your size." I was like, "Okay, nice. Like, what size wheels do I need for those?" So like they gave me like $60 or whatever credit from the streams,
right?
Toward the purchase of those, and then I had to get wheels, and then I had to get bearings,
sure.
And somehow I got convinced that I only needed like AVEC 3 bearings or maybe send it heavy metals or something like that, as opposed to getting like a higher quality bearing. And they were like, whoever I was talking to is like, "Dude, no matter what you get in these things, you're going to go so much faster than anything else we've ever skated."
Mm.
And they were right. And they were like, I will preach for years how great that frame design was.
Yeah.
And I'd give anything for Heiser to make that again, but like a flat 60 or 65 frame.
They were pretty great. What did they fit? 56? They were small.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I want to say I've seen people skating 57 flat like in the last few years.
Okay.
But I mean, like I really don't remember. I skated them with flat 50 millimeter Jeff Fredericks wheels.
Okay.
And like I literally was skating faster and airing higher than anything I've ever skated.
Yeah, I gotta figure that out, because I feel, especially now that I'm skating those tri skates with the 3x110s, like I feel so slow when I'm skating like a Wish frame, or I did some testing on some flat 72s, and it just feels like I'm walking.
Yeah, that definitely is something that'll happen. Mm. The secret to that, and the mushroom blading guys covered this too. They're like, you can't go from big wheels to small wheels. You have to go small wheels to big wheels.
Yeah.
So if you go out first thing in the morning and you do, a 5 mile skate or whatever on your, on your Imperials, and then you come back and you go skate on your Wish frames later that day, you're going to be like, skating a bubblegum? What is going on?
Yeah. Well, and so I did a, and I'm testing now those, ground control 3x110s. I think they're called the Free Skate frame. and they're designed for the IFC system, specifically for the Cosmo. But you know, the Cosmo is an IFC boot, so you're able to use the Cosmo base plates on the Shift, and then vice versa. So I'm skating those 3x110s from spot to spot, and then, you know, in a couple of minutes switching out to the wish frames and skating the spot, and then switching back to the, so yeah, it feels, I mean, it's such a weird change. It's, I mean, it's like a lot of work, where like 3x110, you kind of just like, it feels like ice skating to me, slightly downhill in every direction, where you just kind of, any sort of momentum, just you start moving, versus trying to, you know, skate with, you know, traditional aggressive wheels. You have to skate, you have to push, you know, push with your edges to move.
For sure. It's,
yeah, it's been an interesting experiment.
It's a, yeah, I mean, it could definitely be a pain in the butt. I mean, eventually you do get used to it. There was a while back I took, I had a couple sets of Shadows. This was in like 2011 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this this one spot that I really enjoyed skating, this one park that I like to skate, and it had a quarter pipe. And this was where, like anytime the three amigos is what we called ourselves, like me, Jamie, and Pete, anytime the three of us would get together and skate, probably a good 80% of the time we'd be skating this place. This was in Guilford. But we'd always go skate there. Like, it was like, I would literally drive the 4+ hours it would take to get there to skate it for 2 hours and then drive 4+ hours home. I enjoyed it. It was one of those like wave, like prefab parks.
Okay.
And the coping is weird. It's like a 3/4 round aluminum coping. So like, technically it's something that most people should hate, but I mean, I really enjoyed it. Like, I liked it a lot. Any setup I ever skated on that, I always enjoyed, but I skated the Kaiser Advance on a pair of Shadows. And then also, I think I was skating Solomon frames at that time too. Andy Rocker.
You reminded me, when was that weird Kaiser frame breakage issue? Do you remember, like, was that like 97 or 98?
No, it was after that. That was like 2000, 2001.
There was a run of really bad, so we got our frames made at the same warehouse, the same manufacturing company, that Powerslide got the original Kaiser stuff and the USD Cyrus done. And there was a really bad run of white plastics where everything that we got shipped in, I mean, this was before UFS, so the timing probably was right around 2000. Everything that came back broke. And I saw Cyrus skates, like the white, were they Ashimas maybe? Some white, like the first run Cyrus skates, just like the thing would explode. And I think it was due to the bad plastic. So it might have been right around the same time. And they, you know, we all switched manufacturers after that. It was just really bad material, but that probably was what was causing it.
That is possible. The frames I had were black with gray letters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they were the Eric Shrines. They were the gray or white letters on them.
Got it.
So, I mean, I don't know exactly which one they were or anything like that, but I remember a Cyrus that was like a tan color with the green.
Okay.
I think they were the Sigona 2s.
Okay, probably.
Those are hot. I really enjoyed those. Yeah. For some reason, like every time, like I legitimately don't think I ever would have skated the Cyrus, but I really liked that one.
I had like one of the first set of Cyrus in the U.S. When they were doing the testing, and I would freak people out. I'd go to a skate park, and because they were so different, you know, they were the first real flat sole from USD. Like the Thrones were still the raised, and then they had the chew system and all that. But, you know, the Cyrus was really just this flat sole, and it looked very different. It was like an old gray skate, I think my version was.
Okay.
It felt really heavy and, like, kind of clumsy, to be honest. But I loved them, man. I skated so well in them. I mean, so well is all relative. I feel like I skate better now than I did then. But yeah, I used to love just skating around in the Saris. They were my, I skated them probably the longest, aside from my original skates, probably the longest of all skates that I had.
Did you see the new Rollerblade New Jacks?
I did not.
The black with the white?
Uh-uh.
Let me pull that up real quick.
Oh, maybe I did.
Well, if you saw them, if you might have gotten a notification of me saying something in there.
I might have.
It's interesting because it looks essentially like the white and the white Deshi Carbons.
Okay.
With the white toe. And basically what was going on was someone was trying to be snarky. At least that's the way I read into it. And they were saying how, like, oh, doesn't this look familiar? And then posted a picture of the Chris Haffies with that colorway, with the white toe and the black boot. And then I posted those, and I was like, these should look a little more familiar than that.
Oh, I found the picture.
Okay, yeah, there we go. What was it? Yeah, blade setups. So, but that's a.
It's nice.
It's a good looking skate.
Yeah.
It's very wide. That's the only downside. I had a pair of New Jack 5s. And like, it's a great skate. It feels really awesome and everything like that. But like I said, it's very wide.
Yeah. I need to try some rollerblade skates. I mean, it's strange.
Tom Heiser.
Yeah, well, I can reach out. I got enough going on right now. But
for sure.
It's strange that it, again, rollerblade and K2, they're like, they probably move the most units. And I haven't considered getting them. I just don't know why. I don't know their line. I don't know anything about them.
If you're going to get Rollerblade, you should get Solos.
Solos?
Yeah. It's a great skate. It really is. It's built off of the old mold of the Derricks and the Daytonas and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's a great skate. It fits a little narrower. But not to the point where it's a problem.
Got it.
With the new team Solos, they have the blank liners in them. The blank liners are great liners.
I see that.
I mean, it's not the Intuition liners, but
right,
it's still good.
Interesting. They look good.
I concur.
Is that sole plate is a little feels like it doesn't quite fit, right?
Where is that on the like, New Jack or is that
on the Solo?
The Solos.
Yeah, it feels like they just kind of put that on as like, hey, we need a sole plate. What do you have?
Well, what it was the that boot is also shared with the Fusion.
Okay.
The Fusion F3 and what used to be F5 and F7. But they have like a small bolt-on sole that goes on the very bottom, like a slider pad, more so than a sole plate.
Yeah.
And actually, if you look in that, dog is chomping. Sorry.
No problem.
If you look in the in that thread that I commented on, you'll see Drew Patton actually posted a link to Rollerblade's outlet webpage.
Uh-huh.
You can see the different sole, like the bolt-on sole pads versus the sole plates. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of something that's reminiscent of the old Salomon wide bodies, but. It gets the job done. It's a great sole. It slides really fast.
Yeah.
And there used to be an issue with them breaking. Like if you would land with your feet too close together, the negative plates would crack. But like I never had that problem. And also when I had them, I wasn't doing negatives.
Right.
So I just took the negative plates off and I think I threw them away.
Sure.
But I mean, it's a great skate. Like it's definitely, you know, a very, top level skate as far as I'm concerned. And this was when someone had said something about Power Slide coming out with a Trinity aggressive boot.
Uh-huh.
I was like, it's not going to work with anything that's in their line. If any skate company could do it, it would be Rollerblade because of those soles.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Matthias and Tom Heiser are going to get together and make a Rollerblade Trinity aggressive boot, but
yeah, I mean, who knows?
I think that's the best way to do it. The ride height would be great, but I mean, it's not going to have any benefit as far as grinding is concerned.
Yeah,
but, you know, maybe they already have something up their sleeves for that.
It sure looks good, though.
I agree, it's a great skate. skate, real good skate. But that's, in my opinion, that's the way you should go if you decide to do rollerblade. And also with those, you should not have to do any additional Dremeling with wish frames.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks pretty tall.
They have wheel wells in the toes and the heels.
Oh.
You may need to do some in the middle, but you may not.
Got it.
So, but I mean, again, it's a great skate. And if you do want to go something and do anti-rocker and get like a big wheel anti-rocker frame, track down some TRS switch frames. I know Roller Warehouse has some last I was on their website.
I saw somebody sent me, so when, I forget who, but when we did the, the talk about the wish frames a couple episodes ago, somebody sent me this great email. I'm going to have to find, I'll put it in the show notes. But somebody sent this great email outlining all of the cool, innovative frames that I might have missed.
Okay.
And that rollerblade switch, is that what it was?
That switch frame, yeah.
That frame was in there. Where, I mean, it was really like you could fit a 72 mil wheel with 60s or whatever and rocker them so that they ride flat. Like, it was a really interesting concept. But it came with anti-rocker wheels, I guess? Mm-hmm. Which is...
It does. It's not a very well-constructed frame for flat,
okay.
In my personal opinion. I don't know if Tom Heiser listens to this. I know that was kind of his brainchild, from what I understand. I don't want to say that it's gospel, but
sure.
I don't think it's a very good frame for flat, just because of the width of the groove.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, for any rocker, and I skated those with 72s, but I also skated some Kaiser Slimlines. Slimline 2s with 76s anti-rocker, and it worked real well for me. But the switch frame, I guess they don't have it on Roller Warehouse anymore. The switch frame was great for a 72 millimeter anti-rocker setup. The frame is a very resilient material too. Like, I barely put a dent in mine, and I was skating a lot more than when I had them too. So,
huh.
but I mean, it was a great frame. I don't have anything bad to say about them. And it's definitely something that I would skate again if I was skating UFS.
Yeah, we got to get you back on UFS.
I'm going to resist that real hard.
I know you are.
But for in the efforts of the possibility of getting this whole bearing taste test done, I will sacrifice my my elitism. For UFS.
It is in progress. I don't have any updates, but stay tuned.
That's fine. I'm not going to be picking any shape, form, or fashion. Whatever we end up making happen with that, I'll concede to.
It'll be fun. Oh, you know I'm what? Sure. Roller Warehouse does have switch frames in stock. They are in their frame wheel kit section instead of frame section. So they only come as the kit. And that includes the 72 mil with the anti-rockers. $92 out the door.
Ooh, that's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, with full setup, that's not bad. And yeah, they can get rockered all up and down to fit anything. It's a very interesting frame. Yeah, I see what you mean about the groove. It's really wide. It looks like it's perfect for anti-rocker.
Yeah.
But...
And it really was. Like when I skated them, I skated them anti-rocker.
Yeah.
But the way I understand it, you're supposed to be able to ride them 72 outside, 56 on the in, inside wheels rockered, I want to say in, and then outside wheels rockered up.
Up.
But I mean, I could be wrong with that. But as far as the rockering, I know Tree Rudolph was skating... those flat for a period of time. I don't know if he still is or not, but pretty much anything I see a Tree nowadays, he's in Flying Eagle frame or Flying Eagle skates. I don't know if he's in the 125 frames yet or not, but he might be.
I'm
doing fish brains in them.
I'm looking at the switch frames, and it's hard for me to see a frame now that doesn't have the wheel bite protection, like the Cultic, like the Wish, like the Mega, like the Natural. I mean, everything seems to have that now.
Well, I think more
like
of the
Aeon, all that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the attitude is going back toward flat again.
Yeah.
To be honest. Big wheels, flat wheels, stuff like that. I think that's more of what people are looking toward.
Sure.
But there's always going to be the people that either want to, you know, dedicate themselves to anti-rocker,
yep,
or still have that as an option. So, I mean, if you're skating these anti-rocker, you're not going to have any issues with wheel bite.
No.
Unless you stand, you know, as tall as you possibly can and barely bend your ankles on a back royale.
Yeah, straight up and down.
And have your weight right on top of the coping, you're going to have issues then. But
yeah,
I mean, other than that, I mean, it's a great, it's a little taller than most frames are. So there's a little bit of adjusting. Yeah. There's a little bit of adjustment to get used to, but if you're used to your wish frames, you mm-hmm. shouldn't have any issue with them at all.
Yeah. No,
as far as height's concerned, if you want to get weird and rocker and down with like 80s,
yeah,
you could do that and have a little bit of getting used to, but
yeah, we'll see what I end up doing. The, you mentioned Flying Eagle. They have at least a preview on the Instagram, an aggressive frame coming out as well with, you know, as you would expect, wheel bite protection. It looks very similar to like a Aeon frame, very similar to a Wish frame, you know, without the love, I guess. it looks good, man. It looks really good. Where can you get Flying Eagles in the U.S.? Anywhere?
There's a shop called Pro Skaters Place.
Oh, I know the name from the website somewhere.
Actually, I think they might be in Canada, but there's Turbulence Inlines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's in. I don't know if the inlines is plural or not, but Turbulence is a U.S. retailer.
Okay.
Flying Eagle, and they make a really great skate for a dedicated big wheel type skate.
Interesting.
My daughter has a pair of their S6.
Okay.
And it's a great skate. Like I was really bummed out with the Target puts out a skate that's, you know, soft plastics and everything like that, crappy liner.
Sure.
It'll get the job done. It's one that's convertible to where you can have like the three wheel quad skate kind of thing to the inline with three
mm-hmm.
wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like, there's a lot you can do with them. And I think the biggest wheel you can put them is like a 57 or a 58. I had a 55 and a half millimeter Switch Heroes, the Eulogy ones, the blue ones that Isaac put out a couple years back. But I only have six. I lost two of them. Somehow.
Oh no!
Nah, what are you gonna do?
Ride them on your tri-skates.
Exactly. I was gonna say the same thing. Oh God! Could you imagine a 55 and a half millimeter?
55 and a Kazi? You'd kill it.
That'd be ridiculous. That'd be so ridiculous.
Go and hit the trails.
Oh God! And give up halfway through.
So good.
You know, great skates. It's the same high quality product or high quality plastic that they have in their big skates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any issues with the buckles. I can tighten those as tight as I want to and not worry about breaking the buckle.
Mm-hmm.
So and Tracy at Flying Eagle was able to help me out with getting those for Emily, and
neat.
And I'm very, very happy that she was able to help me out with that. So
cool.
So thanks again, Tracy.
It sounds like a good company. I mean, I don't know much about them, but I'm interested. I'm looking at the Pro Skaters Place page, and they have this caught my eye on the sidebar, this Flying Eagle laser wheel. Have you seen these things?
I have.
From
what I hear, those are actually the highest quality lighted wheel that's out there.
Not only do they light up, but they spark.
Yeah, they have a sparking wheel too.
They have from the listing, multiple high quality magnesium inserts for sparks. So you do your magic slides and lightning bolts come out of your wheels.
I'm not gonna lie though, like if I ever got good with slides, I would definitely have something like that. Take them at the one of the trails that's around Philly.
Oh, forget that. Go downtown on a Friday night.
I don't want to get stabbed. but then again, at the same time, I couldn't point out downtown Philly if you held a gun to my head. So wow. Like downtown, as far as I'm concerned, is Chinatown next to where the car show is.
Nice. Yeah, these are pretty cool. I might have to pick a pair up.
I have no doubt they're going to be high quality stuff. I know a couple of the people that designed some of the stuff with that, or at least consulted with them. And there's been a lot of changes from when I saw the project to now. there's a whole ton of changes that, have been out there. Even just aesthetically, there's been a bunch of changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a great looking frame. I was excited from it from day one. When I saw like a pencil drawing of it or something like that.
Yep.
Same thing with those 3.1s, those Kaiser level 3.1s. I saw those very, very early in the R&D.
For the
redesign, and the guy who designed those did a really, really good job. Maybe someday we'll get to talk to him.
It takes a few revisions to get that down, I think. I feel like, what are we on, the third feathered light? Weren't the first feather lights really good, and the second ones they said weren't good? I missed all of that, but
yeah, the way I understand it, the Featherlight one still had like the rockering in it.
Okay.
I guess. I'm not sure. It was one of the first ones with the 8mm axles. But I wasn't skating at that time when the original Featherlights came out. But I've seen people skate them flat. I've seen people skate them anti-rocker and freestyle and everything like that. So I guess they're a great frame, but I never skated them. I skated the Featherlight 2s for a little bit right before I got my Switch frames. I was indifferent about them at the time.
Got it.
But now, I wouldn't skate them just for the simple fact that you can't skate them flat. And if I'm going to buy a frame and skate it, you know, with the concerted effort of I'm going to go out and I'm going to skate these.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I'm going to buy a pair of frames to skate them, not necessarily for a test.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be an anti-rocker frame.
Right.
I would probably go as far as like a Stunline 2 because that's not the best groove for flat, but it can work. But yeah, I mean, like there's people that shred the hell out of them. So, true. I mean, I can't say that it's a bad design or anything like that. I mean, it's, you know, the right tool for the right job. If you're going to go out and do a bunch of grinds, you know, can't beat it.
Yeah, I was talking with another guy who it's been side note, I've been getting a lot of emails and messages from people on either YouTube or Instagram or whatever who are getting back into it and like just have a ton of questions, you know. First of all, absolutely love it. Like it's great, like how I had you know a year ago and I was asking all these, you know, what I thought were, you know, stupid questions. To you, it's amazing that now I can, you know, return the favor and new bladers coming back can ask me questions. It's, I feel I don't know if this is a normal thing that happens on a yearly basis, but I feel like there's some momentum coming, where there's more and more skaters coming back. Anyway, guy asking me, he got the new Valo Vibrolux boots. Did you see those?
Really?
I don't think you could not see those. They've been everywhere.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when AJ had posted a preview, like, what do you think this is going to be? And because, like, it's a new Valo.
Yeah.
Like, clearly.
Yeah, of course.
Like, he's not going to put the money out for denim jackets again.
No,
he's not going to put the money out for, you know, jeans again, you know, or anything like that. So, like, it's clearly going to be another Valo. Like, that's really the only thing that's really going to be profitable for him. And that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, it looks great.
It's not bad looking. Personally, I think the trim, like that like brown leather trim that goes around, reminds me a lot of the Quinn SL. But I mean, I can't deny the fact that it's a good looking boot.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely hit it out of the park again.
It's really, the first, really smart.
Yeah, the first one they did with the corduroy one for Alex Broskow, the VXABs or ABVX, whatever they called it. I thought that was a really, really good looking skin too. I like this new one a lot.
Yeah. I like that. They're trying, job. They're trying different things. The idea of putting denim on my foot is kind of weird to me. Denim's always just been, I've never been a jean jacket guy either. Like denim is always just for pants, but I mean, I guess there's a first time for everything. Anyway, true. So this guy, ordered a pair. I think he's just getting back and, maybe he knew John's name and, you know, found them on Instagram or something, and then found the skates and was like, oh, these are cool. Like, I'm totally into that. But then he texts me on the Instagram and he's like, I have no, or I think he left a comment, but he's like, I have no idea what else to get. Like, these are boot only. Like, what wheels, what frames, what, like, bearings? Like, I don't know anything. So we were chatting a little bit, and I recommended the Featherlite 3s as an anti-rocker frame. You know, not only the single tool to, you know, get the bolts out design. I really love that. But for the price, I mean, it's a really just, you want an anti-rocker reel that's just going to get, you know, torn to bits. It's a really good option.
Absolutely. I can't argue with that logic. Yeah. What'd you think of the USD team edit?
Yeah, it was all right.
Could you see all of Eugene's clips?
I saw all of Eugen's clips. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I like that they're doing things with just their team. And I'm assuming that that's their pro team. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people on Flow or AM or whatever. But those are like the guys that they're focusing on for 2017. It's good. I mean, just to come back on the talk last week about Razors and how I wasn't really sure who was on the Razors team. Like, I'd really love to see this similar thing come from Razors, where it was just like, here's our team. Boom. Like, here's, you know, five tricks from this guy, five tricks from this guy, five tricks from this guy. It just, you know, you associate the skaters with the team now. And, you know, I can watch that USD edit and I can just, you know, see those skaters on those skates. And now I have this connection, like they are on that team. I don't, you know, aside from John Fromm, I don't really have that with Razors, I guess.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I follow enough Razor skaters, but I don't know who's on their team. But you know, with USD, at least I know there's a clear, like, this is the team. Yeah, great skating as always. I mean, nothing unexpected there. It was good seeing Farmer on some USD skates. Kind of weird, to be honest, but it was yeah. You know, he's been on Shadow for like 15 years. Like, you know, he's a Shadow rider. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll get back as soon as they start shipping again. But, yeah, it was a pretty good edit.
I agree. I mean, I feel the same way. Like, a lot of the same things that you said, specifically, like, it was really nice to see, here's 5-6 tricks of this guy. Here's some tricks of this guy, this mm-hmm. guy, this guy. It was really nice to see that. And I agree, it was weird seeing Farmer in not Shadows, but at the same time, like, the last 3 or 4 years, like, he really seems to have been someone to do a lot of R&D for them and a product testing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it didn't really surprise me. I remember Dominic Sagona had a picture of him mm-hmm. skating Shadows, and then someone was like, oh my god, did you change to Shadows and stuff. So, and it's like, no, like he skates for the conference. They have product, like, if he's like, I'd like to try something different, can you send me some Shadows, or can you send me this, can you send me that?
Right.
You know, like, you know, I think the story was like he was rehabbing his ankle or something, and he felt that those would be good for him.
Mm.
But then, like, I mean, Farmer, even when, was it, Sean Kelso, when he was transitioning from USD to Shadow, like, mm-hmm. there was times where people would see clips of him in USDs and they would see clips of him in Shadows and vice versa, and back and forth and back and forth. Right when the 2.0 came out, like, and people were just like, oh my god, is this marking the end of USD? No, he's helping test the product. Like, how, like, are you seriously?
Yeah.
Really think that? Really, bro?
Well, and
but it just didn't make sense. Like, why speculate to that level? It's just like right. he skates for the conference, which, like, ergo, he skates for Power Slide.
Right.
They could say, hey, you know what? We would really like you to give us some feedback about these speed skates. Would you be willing to do that?
Right.
And no one's going to say no to product. Like, yeah, if any company said, hey, here's a skate that you're not familiar with. Right. Will you try it out? Absolutely. I would love to. whatever you got.
Yeah.
You know, let me try it out for you.
I mean, you see Nick Lomax on the tri-skates, and it's not like he's the tri-skate guy, you know? He's just a rollerblader who skates for a big exactly. company that has a lot of different brands. Now, I think it would be weird if he had a Pro Imperial. I don't think they would do that, or a Pro Kazi. Maybe they will. I don't know. But
But to the people that that's going to be marketed toward, like that name would be marketed to, they're not going to sell Kazis and Imperials.
Dude. Precisely.
Like, I think of all the people that I know that skate, you know, aggressively and skate big wheels, I think I've seen two of them on Imperials.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four. Four of them on Imperials, mm-hmm. not including you and myself.
Sure.
So, like, that's just – I don't see that as something that they would legitimately do to put out more product, but they would say, like, let's put Nick Lomax's 80 millimeter pro wheel on a special edition Imperial. Right. I would see that. I think that would make sense.
Sure. Sure. Because it's the brand still. But yeah, and you got to realize that when they're putting together a section, it's not like the Instagram world now where the clips that you see on Instagram are clips that they shot that day. Or yesterday, mm-hmm. like if there's a section, they're getting clips over the last few months. You know, it's produced. So between that time, they're clearly changing skates and they're trying different things. Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it, but it was good to see Farmer on the multitude of different USD skates. He was on a bunch of different models. I felt.
Yeah, Brett Dasavic posted a picture or video clip of him and Farmer out today, and you could see Farmer skates, and he's on swells again.
Oh, is he?
he's on the Montre swells.
That's awesome. The red and black ones.
Yep.
Did you see Montre's video?
I did.
So
Montre is ridiculous, but at the same time, though, like I've spent the last two or three days, like once Emily went to sleep. Actually, once my dog went to sleep, edit out her name.
Yep.
Once she went to sleep, I'd put on a YouTube video, like usually one of the Chris Haffey Blade games,
mm-hmm.
and just like, so like a lot of the recent content that I've seen is kind of mushed together.
Yeah.
But I did see that, like anytime Montre skates, it's a laser show. It's always enjoyable to watch him.
You know, I'm a huge fan. I gotta be real. I'm not enjoying the beer and the smoking in the edits. Like, I don't know if that's just me. Like, maybe again, I fully admit that I'm old. You know, I got two kids. I just don't know that it's necessary. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. Like, the skating speaks for himself. And that's his thing. Absolutely. Like, I totally get it. And you know, he has the PBR flavor sort of logo on his wheel, and I totally get it. It's just, I wish that it didn't have to be in every clip.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I've taken a lot of issue with that kind of stuff in the past. I'm not trying to be a fuddy-duddy and say like, oh, you can't drink beer, you can't smoke weed. Like, I enjoy beer from time to time.
Oh, of course.
Like, I'll smoke weed once every 5 or 6 years.
Sure.
But like it's the celebration that I don't like. Like, you know, do it, but I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things in life that I don't care if you do. Don't put it in my face. I don't give a shit. Which is 90% of the reason why I've not liked Blader Gang stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been like central in their shit. Like I remember like one of their first edits or something like that, they had this huge like a salad bowl full of weed in the Razor's house. It might not have been the Razor's house, but yeah, wherever it was, like, they had this huge, huge salad bowl full of weed. I'm just like, I don't need to see that. Like,
yeah.
I'm done with Blader Gang.
Yeah, it's, you know, just, I mean,
you know, to hell with you guys. Like, I'm done with it.
It is what it is. And I was never like, I was never into that. I definitely enjoy a beer. You know, I prefer bourbon now, but it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but skating you're skating. Not going to have a close-up of a bottle of Elijah Craig as you're running up to do a torque solo.
Right, so. Right. And but I mean, beer is different, absolutely, and weed is different. Like, I see people smoking out at the skate park all the time, and it's fine. Like, do your thing, you know? It's just in the video, like announcing a pro skate, it feels like it's out of place. You know, I think that if it were a VOD, maybe it would be a little different, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
since you say that, specifically, did you see the link that I sent you for the Vibrolux VODs?
I did. I haven't watched them yet. Are they still, is that still valid, or was that just a Memorial Day?
No, it's still good.
Okay. I'll have to check them all out. No, it's still
good. You should, and I specifically say that because Montrez is in there, and it's called Trail of Beers.
I saw that one. That was the first VOD that I saw of Montrez.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw him. I was like, dude, this guy, I think I posted on the Facebook. I was like, dude, this guy's amazing. Like, because Montrez had, and obviously he had beer all over the place, and I wasn't a fan of that. And I think he even put that on the Facebook post like 8 months ago. Like, seeing him skate made me want to skate better. Like, that's that attitude that he brings. He's just got this, I'm really into it. He celebrates when he does a hard trick. You can see that he's busting his ass and he's hurting himself. And then, like, there's just that hooray, like, cheering at the end when he kills it. And I think that's the VOD where Farmer is in the background of almost every single one, just kind of chilling, and then he gives him a high five after the big tricks, or he gives him a big hug.
Well, I know that was Haffy's, but Farmer might have been in the background. Of
some, I don't know. He's really good at Montrez it. Too. Yeah, he's really good at it. I mean, if
yeah, and like at the same time though, like his like Montrez smile is infectious. Like, never skated with him. I don't think I've even been within 1,000 miles of Montrez ever in the world. But watching him skate, like, just it makes me happy. It makes me smile. It makes me want to go skate.
No question about it.
So, like, but I mean, I do agree. Like, the quote unquote product placement of stuff that isn't a pro skate, you know, I could kind of live without. But I mean, you know, with Montrez, like, I give Montrez a pass because, like, it's Montrez, like that's kind of his thing,
and that's fair. And you know? And again, it is his thing, and I totally get that. I wish that it wasn't the thing. It's, you know, it's kind of up there with having the God's marijuana leaf wheel. Like it's totally fine. Like I totally get that. I just don't know that it's appropriate. Like it's not for me.
Yeah, and that I think that's the best way to put that. Like it's just not for me, so like my money's not going to go to those people that have that kind of stuff on there.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. To each their own.
There's really no. Do your own thing. There's no reason to beat that horse.
No, absolutely.
So you have a Julian Baugh edit here.
Yeah.
Which is his old ego section.
Yeah. So we had some follow up. This this guy Kyle was watching listening to podcasts and heard. Us talking about Julian. I mean, again, I'm still fairly new to the thing, trying to get back and learn about it. And he posted that Julian edit. Is that a famous edit? Like, should I have known that?
I don't know if I'd call it famous, but I mean, it's definitely. I mean, Julian is extremely skilled. You know, he's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Footage tape 4. Which was the last footage tape that the Kevin Dowling and Jamie Olmstead put out. There was a lot of really good stuff that J-Baugh did in that. And I mean, he had a checkered past.
Okay.
You know, when he was skating for Rollerblade. And I'll get to the link for the mushroom blading one the mushroom blading podcast that he was in. So you could listen to that. Cause he kind of goes into that specifically about it. And Todd has a couple of extra alcoholic beverages in that episode. So,
sure.
Like, and you could start to hear it too. Like, there's a specific point where you're just like, yeah, Todd had a few.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't begrudge him for it. Like the first time that I heard it, I was like, they're having a good time. Like, I didn't even think of it. And he did a podcast with Leon as a sidebar. Mm-hmm. He did a podcast with Leon. He's like, I really didn't like the way that I did the J-Baugh podcast. I got a little bit too drunk and I was like, really? Mm. And when I listened to it again, I was like, that's why.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, again, like I'm not judging it. I mean, I don't think there's any podcast that they've done that I was just like, well, that sucked.
Yeah.
So
what's, how, I mean, so this this edit is from 8 years ago. I mean, so he's been around for a long time.
He has. He was around for a long time. He goes into his history in the mushroom blading edit, but he did he skated for Rollerblade or for Razors, went to Rollerblade, back to Razors, back to Rollerblade, or there might be one less of those flip flops. Okay. And then the last time that he got off of Razors, he went to Adapt, where he's at now for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But he this Ego section I think was from a Razors team video called Ego.
Okay.
It's either Razors or M1, which is a wheel sponsor. I don't remember exactly which one, and I hope I don't get persecuted for that one. But, but I mean, again, like when that would have came out, I would have been out of blading at the time too.
So. Right.
He's a good rollerblader. He's a great rollerblader. His physics section, I went back and I watched that one in the physics video. Is good. It was real good. Real good.
I didn't know physics had a video. I think, I mean, I was out around the time when physics was, like, I remember when they were developing the first version, and that was right when Tom Heiser was getting involved with it. And I knew they came out with a second version with, like, less parts, because the first ones were, like, I mean, they were almost handcrafted. They had so many parts. But I don't know anything about the history of it.
Well, the way I understood it, like the differences with the other ones was they were like they had the XTs and the XT Pros. The XTs had aluminum, what do you call those things? Carriers or whatever they were.
Yeah, like
rocker arms. They had the aluminum rocker arms, and the XT Pros had all aluminum rocker arms. Mm-hmm. But I think that was really the only difference between them. I don't remember any aesthetic differences, like with the cutouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the H block stayed pretty much the same and the groove. But I mean, like that was an ingenious design. Like I would, if I could find somebody to make me another set of those with all new plastics, like if I could like somehow find someone to make, you know, 5 sets of those mm-hmm. in new plastic, so I didn't have to worry about them breaking, I would go back to UFS in a heartbeat.
Did we talk about the Create Original ones?
We can.
I thought, for whatever reason, it feels familiar. But just suspension in general. Is there a reason why there aren't more suspension frames now?
Because they're hard as fuck to make.
Yeah.
And the design. So to make a proper suspension frame, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Like you need, I really think physics hit it on the head when it first came out. And I mean, no disrespect to Cray Originals, they had a very interesting idea, and they did everything they could to make it work the way that they hoped it to work.
Right.
But I mean, like I couldn't have made a better one. In any shape, form, or fashion. I think the Aldo Lega has really talked about the shortcomings of that frame really well, so I'm not going to rehash it. He's far smarter than I am with it. So if you want to know more about, you know, what should have been, he's going to be the better, you know, you should hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
You think he's got, we're talking about the Create Original, the shortcomings of the
CRS frame.
I'll see if I can, he's probably got a post on BMAG somewhere, or maybe on Reddit. It's probably more of a BMAC thing. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, like I'm not saying that I could have done anything better, but sure. It's just the way that the wheel is designed to move, to be able to move, and the washers, it wasn't the best design.
Sure.
But Al goes into detail on why it wasn't. But the, where is I going with this? I had a pair. Yeah, so with physics, like you had, you know, just one piece that was holding the wheels that bounced against those bushings.
Right.
So like you didn't have, there was no room for slop or anything like that, which I think is what caused the issues with the CRS, where if you went over terrain that was uneven, you would have potential where the right half of the wheel would come up, and the left half would stay in the one spot, and then end up rubbing up against the sidewalls.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's few and far between where something like that would happen, but I mean, the possibility is there.
Sure.
And I think that was really the only problem, which also gave way to the to the frame, warping and everything like that. So,
right.
That's a very layman's way of explaining, you know, what Al would have said much better.
Sure. Do you think there's potential in the design, or is it just that it's a failed attempt? Or I should say, is it so the original physics were developed, you know, like you said, for 57 mil wheel or however big they were. I would assume Create Originals were for 60 mil wheel.
No, I don't think Create is made, like, I think it's 57, 58.
57. So is there a need for a suspension frame in the world of 60, 72 mil flat rocker frames?
I would slap somebody's mother for a suspension Aeon with 60 millimeter suspension. Like, it would be, I don't think you could top it.
Hmm.
Like, but it would have to be the unsprung technology from physics with that. I think that's the way that it needs to be. But I mean, again, like that's pipe dreams. That's ungodly amounts of money to, to license and to get done. I mean, like Aeons are already $270. You're probably looking at an extra $120.
Sure.
At retail, which I would pay happily. I would happily pay, but that's one guy, you know, that sees the potential in that, and it's just not something that PowerSlide is going to be willing to do.
Sure.
And then you would lose all the benefits from the Aeons because you need extra room in the frame for the
yeah, I mean,
the suspension bits and everything like that.
It's going to be heavier, and you're going to have room for the wheel to come up. Like, it only goes up when you put enough pressure on that, like if you land a gap or if you come down on it. So there's a lot of wasted space for like 90% of rolling.
For sure. But I mean, again, like if I could design a perfect skate, it would definitely have the physics suspension in it.
Hmm.
It was a simple idea that needed, you know, a relatively complicated design.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like people wanted to skate a Manny Rocker. Like, I skated with people in Escondido that skated a Manny Rocker.
Right.
And I wanted to take them off of their skates,
beat
them over the head with them, and be like, you're not using this correctly. You're using a screwdriver, hammer, nail. The fuck is the matter with you?
Well, but it was a product that was ahead of its time.
For sure.
I mean, it was right when UFS really started that, you know, the original frames came out, and we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that was a few years, a solid few, 4 or 5 years or so afterward. So, I mean, I think it was a good time space, so to speak, for it. But I mean, it just, you know, it was also a bad time because a couple years after that, the market started to drop as far as aggressive inline is concerned.
Yeah. Well, the first physics, so I knew a little bit about it.
Okay.
They were called sprung frames. Like, that was before the physics name came around. It was called sprung. And they had I forget what his name was. Keith, maybe?
Keith Longino.
Is that his
name?
Believe so. He's like the typical, like the prototypical crazy scientist. Like, he's just got the look down. He had the glasses. Like, if you think of what a crazy scientist looks like, that's Keith. And I don't remember that his name is Keith, but I'm going to call him Keith because it sounds like the right name. And he was working with, I think this was right when he started working with Tom. But it was, I mean, we were at, I remember we saw them at ASR in San Diego. And that was probably 2001. So, I mean, definitely didn't make the market, but I remember there was a little skate park there and John Starr got a set. So he grabbed like the only prototypes, like the only set that the guy had. And he went out there and he skated on because, you know, the guy was like, yeah, you know, let's see what you think. And I think John broke one of the suspension things, which was like good and bad. Like, John felt really bad about it. He's like, dude, I'm sorry. I broke your thing. And, Keith was happy about it because he was like, cool, like I haven't been able, because he wasn't really a rollerblader. He was a guy who had a lot of, you know,
ideas,
right? And he wasn't good enough to break them. But John Starr definitely was. And yeah. you know, he put pressure on some port or whatever, and he broke one of those, the suspension arms or whatever they're called. So I'm sure that that prototype that I saw was years before it actually made the market. But they didn't change. Like, they were designed for 57 flat. They weren't designed for grinds. They weren't designed for anti-rocker. They were designed to skate flat, but that was not the way people skated back then. You know, this was right around when the juice blocks came out and then the MOOC frames came out. So it was all about how much space can I get between 1 and 4 and how can I make this grind area as big as possible. And then here he comes with a flat 57 frame with, you know, fairly equidistant wheels, you know, very, very little split, which was a dream to skate. But I think it was just, you know, a good idea at the wrong time. If it came out now, different story, right? But yeah, I think it was just way ahead of his time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. And his name is Keith Longino.
Is it Longino? There you go. That sounds right.
Yeah. I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly. So if somehow, Keith, you hear that, I'm sorry.
I think that's
but
right.
But I actually reached out to him in a few years ago, almost 4 years to the day. And this is my opening line. You ready for this one? This is going to put us on a list. I would slap the president's mother for an updated physics frame.
Lord, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I said it. I mean, I didn't get a visit. So
did he reply to you?
He did, yeah. We emailed, we went back and forth a couple times. What physics launched, blah, blah, blah. He was essentially saying that that like it's like what he currently has isn't adaptable to anything other that isn't hockey skates.
Sure.
But I mean, if you're interested in looking, the website is sprunghockey.com.
Okay.
So I mean, like it's out there. Like there's definitely stuff that's there.
Sprung but, hockey. Let me bring it up. That's great. I mean, I'm glad that again the guy's brilliant. Like. He didn't understand our market, but oh, I see. Yeah, so this is like this weird. Okay, so it's got instead of the individual wheels, it's got this like a scissor system almost for 1 and 2 and then 3 and 4. Are they popular?
I have no idea. I'm not a hockey guy. Hmm. I know a guy who my dad's latest wife's oldest son
okay
is a professional roller hockey player.
Okay,
so maybe I'll reach out to him and see if he knows anything about him, but
I'd be curious.
Yeah, we're not really on the best of terms.
Okay,
with that part of the family, so I mean I'll still reach out to him because like he did, and at the time like he was a cocky kid, like he's a couple years younger than me. Uh-huh. And he was saying how like, oh, you know, you should come up to Wisconsin, I'll skate circles around you. I was like, you've only been skating a few years longer than me, motherfucker, and you put me in a pair of flat frames. I'm gonna skate just as well as you are.
Yeah,
like I don't want to hear it. Like just because you play hockey, like fuck off. So anyway, like that's baggage we don't need to unpack here on the podcast. But
yeah, I don't need to.
But yeah, I don't have a problem with reaching out to him and saying, hey, do you know anything about this stuff? You know, is this something that gets talked about? Like. You know, the people look back on it fondly, like we look back on physics like that. So
yeah, I just wonder.
Yeah, I'll reach out to him. I'll let you know what comes up.
So cool.
So more frame technology. What about these wooden frames?
I don't know. from high tech to
it's the best tech
to what are you talking about? Artisanal oak struck by lightning. What was that? The natural or the baseball bat? It was carved by hand from a tree that was struck by lightning.
Did you ever see, speaking of that specifically, do you know who Nick Swisher is as a baseball player?
I don't.
Okay. Well, Nick Swisher played for several teams. He was an outfielder, and he was a pretty good batter. But he did this promo video when he was playing for the Indians, I think it was, mm-hmm. Where he said, oh, I got this great new bat. And he pulls out a fucking 4x4.
Nice.
And there's like, pretty sure the league's going to fine you for that. He's like, for what? Hitting a ball into outer freaking space? And it was really funny. He was a really funny dude. He knew how to deliver the line and everything.
That's pretty good.
It was so good. Like, and just that that reminded me of that.
So yeah, this guy, Adam
Potts.
So what's his story?
I don't know.
Just a carpenter? Dude. Yeah, I mean, apparently a good one.
Yeah.
He made this
carpenter and a rollerblader.
Yeah, he made this walnut set of frames that he's attached on these custom carbons. They look amazing. They're like just
it's a really
polished,
cool idea.
Beautiful, beautiful frames. I would be afraid to skate them because they would crack pretty quickly, but they sure would be fun to look at.
Yeah, he had mentioned that they were a and that carbon is a mink oil rubbed Rishi Eisler carbon free.
Oh my god.
So you know.
Oh my god. But
no, I mean like it's a really cool idea. Like I was thinking of I would want some. Oh, if I worked at a desk, mm-hmm. I would want a pair of those for my desk. Like if I was still working in the call center, like I had a stack of magazines and everything like that I had on my desk when I worked for Verizon in the call center.
Right.
I would go back to that work if I could make, you know, an extra 30% per hour. But I mean, like, that stuff is just soul killing, and just having those magazines there made me feel better. To the point where I was like, you know what, I can deal with this. Oh my gosh, stop yelling at me, lady. Roller Warehouse catalogs. Okay, all right, feel better. All right. Okay, here we go. So, yeah. But yeah, like I would definitely have a set of those at my desk. That would be really cool to have. But
my wife had a set of were they the baby blue classic non-UFS frames that we made. I don't know if they were the Randy Spicer ones or if they
Fabiolas.
Were the Fabiolas, but she had those on her desk, and people would always ask what they were, and it was
my husband made those.
Yeah, oh. A good conversation
cool.
starter, I guess.
Oh, for sure. So the Rolling Along documentary, you want to talk about that?
I do.
And okay.
I do. Did you get a chance to watch most of it?
I didn't get the chance to watch any more of it from what we talked about, but. I mean, from what I did see, I didn't dislike it.
Yeah, it's
but I'm ever the optimist when it comes to Blade Media.
Yeah.
So it's not often that I go, I don't fucking like that.
Right.
Usually there's one person in particular that puts stuff out that I don't like.
Yes, I've heard.
And, okay.
So this is a documentary that probably came out last month what's his name? Shit, I had it. Seems like a really nice guy. I don't know if I chatted with him. Richard Vaughn. I chatted with him a little bit, I think, on Instagram, or at least I saw his stuff on Instagram, and I've seen him on Instagram. Just a really like hour-long documentary on the history of rollerblading, at least from our side of things. There's some footage that I had never seen before of the old days. There's interviews with Chris Edwards, John Julio, Frankie, Coco, Tom Heiser. I think that's it. Am I forgetting anyone? I think that's it. Michael Palak. And it's fine. You know, if you're a geek and you want to learn about you know, the history of rollerblading and get some interesting perspectives from Chris Edward, who hasn't, to my knowledge, hasn't been out there much. It's interesting to watch him talk. I mostly appreciated Tom Heiser's segments because you could tell that he kind of tells it like it is. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Tom for that. I don't think if you're looking for a documentary to catch up on what happened in the last 10, 15 years, you should watch Barely Dead. I think although it's a little dated now, it's not too dated, but it came out, 6 years ago? I mean, it's been a while, right?
I think something about that, yeah.
But it's a better produced video, less document. I'm sorry, less interviewee and more documentary, I think. It's got, you know, just polish. It's got really good motion graphics. It's got a lot of the old footage. It had a lot of footage that I'd never seen from the days. You could find Barely Dead on the YouTube. I don't know when
on the YouTubes. You're not that old, Law. Come on.
Everything is on the. I don't know what year it came out though.
Barely Dead. I think that was 06.
Yeah, it says. Yeah, it's hard to find. Yeah, it's about 10 years old. No, wait.
When I Googled it, the second thing comes up says Barely Dead Black Market 2 2006 full DVD.
Yeah, I think that's it. But it's not.
But then there's also a Reddit link, which I know that date's wrong. Is Barely Dead, the Saga of Modern Rollerblading, 2013. I know that's clearly not correct.
Yeah, and then I see some 2008. I don't know. I'm going to have to find it. I think I have a copy somewhere.
Yeah, let's call it 2006. I think that's the way to
that's
go.
That's fair. So it's fairly dated, but it's not like a ton has happened in the last, you know, 10 years from a change of the market and change of the sport perspective. Clearly the tricks and the technology has gotten better, but... it's not like we're now in the X Games. It's not like we're, you know, it's not like Fila is making skates again or anything like that.
Did you ever skate any of those, the Fila skates?
I've never seen them in person.
Okay.
I did see the Bowers in person. Sam Fogarty had a set of those Bowers, and I remember seeing him skate them.
I'd still skate those.
I don't know if you saw them. I don't know that you would.
Just because they were different. And for the longest time, I wanted a different skate than everybody else. And then I realized since we were getting chased by the cops so much, maybe having a different skate wouldn't be the best.
Why? Why not a different skate? So they could tell you.
Because the cops could be like, that guy had a pair of white skates and everybody else had black skates.
Like if you were in the lineup, like the Usual Suspects, they could pick you out?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I always thought it was more of like some cop like stopped us. I'm like, I better not see you guys again. And then like the next weekend is like, I remember you. You had white skates. Oh shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All the skates were black back then, weren't they? Black or dark blue?
For the most part. Yeah. Yeah. They weren't a lot of colored skates back then.
That's all about
back in the days.
So yeah, I thought that the documentary was fine. I think it is, again, it's blading content. If you've got the means, throw some money their direction and support it. The interviews are great. You know, it's great to see them talking about, you know, the history of things. I think Tom's section was great. I think Chris's section was great. Those are the two standouts for me. It's just great to see Chris again with skates on. And I didn't realize he had 8 kids. He has 8 kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
It sure is.
So, yeah, if you're interested.
He's Catholic?
I mean, he likes kids, that's for sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. It's just great. It's great to see, you know, VODs. I really like any VOD that comes out I want to buy, even if I don't watch them much. Just this week, the 8 Down VOD hit. I don't know anything about it. I don't know any of the skaters in it. I saw it linked to on maybe BMAG and Facebook, and I bought it because I just want to, you know, I want to, if I have a little extra money, I want to spend it wisely, you know, throw it towards plating, like let them make more stuff.
Okay. I didn't know a whole lot about this 8 Down thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that, selfie page.
Oh yeah.
Or selfie page. And, I'm watching the trailer right now, and I don't think I want to watch this, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. It might not be your cup of tea.
Yeah. I mean, like Philip Moore is a great roleplayer. He does a lot of really amazing stuff, a lot of stuff that I can't do.
Sure.
But I just don't know if I can get behind all the SD look and all the weird... what looks like After Effects. I don't know if I can deal with that, to be perfectly honest.
How about this? How about I will watch it and then we will talk about it next time.
That sounds like a great plan.
I will tell you what I think.
Now, I also had a similar attitude about Robbie Pitts in the past.
Yes,
because exactly. I couldn't get past his aesthetic. And then once chapter 2 of Vine Street came out, I was like, oh, I think I'm a fan of Robbie Pitts now.
Which is another VOD that I purchased that I haven't watched yet. I have so many things I need to do.
Are you kidding me?
I don't have time.
Look, put it on. Put
you
it
see
on
all
right
the things
now,
that I do, right?
And let's watch it together.
Lord. Need another beer for that.
It's just wake up early tomorrow, get a cup of coffee, and watch it.
I have a session tomorrow. We're going to hit Chapel Hill. I got things to do.
Fine. Take your laptop with you.
Lord.
But it's Divine Street Chapter 2 is cinematically one of the best videos I've seen in a very long time.
You don't watch me. You didn't want me watching it on the laptop. You got mad at me for not watching the Eugen edit in the right lighting.
Well, we talked about that one. That had a very specific aesthetic to it, where Vine Street 2 doesn't try to be so thematic.
Okay.
It's just fucking good. The skating's great. You know, the cinematography's great. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Guy Crawford did the website for it, so you know that's awesome.
Yes.
but I mean, I very highly recommend it. I'm a little offended you haven't watched it yet.
I bought it. I got closer to watching it than I was a couple weeks ago.
That's true. It's really good. You're in for a treat when you watch it. Really are.
All right. Maybe maybe tomorrow morning I'll watch it before the session. I'll get all hype. And I'll
make yourself a nice coffee. Oh, I bought a
try to replicate
a mocha pot.
Excellent.
I fucking love it.
I've never been a fan of mocha pots. Yeah, I don't like it. It always comes out sludgy for me.
It's kind of the idea with it. It's espresso.
Yeah, it does. I've been a French press guy. We do drip daily, but if I have the time, French press with a nice coarse ground is the way to go.
I can't argue with that one. That's a good one. That's a good way to go too.
My mocha pot experience has not been great, and I think it's because I just haven't given it enough chance. Have you ever tried one of the AeroPresses?
I haven't. Like, I wanted to get one. Like when it came time for me to get my mocha pot earlier today.
Yep.
I was like, should I get this or should I just get the AeroPress? Because the AeroPress was $5 cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it a little bit. I was like, well, I don't have to change out a filter with the mocha pot.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, it's available. It's like $6 for a replacement filter and gasket.
Yeah,
but
they'll last forever.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to need one. And there's no potential for me to break it.
No.
You know, so I went with the mocha pot. But I mean, couple drops of lemon juice, maybe a tiny bit of sugar, good to go. And I just say that because, oh, I do have lemons. Fuck yeah. Lemon twist cappuccino in the morning.
Living the life.
Oh, dude, I'm so juiced. Like, I'm definitely going to turn myself into a coffee snob. Like, I can't remember the last time I used my Keurig. I think I used that to make my wife's tea.
Yeah, you got to throw that out.
I should. I really should, because we've had it for like 7 years at this point.
They're just so bad for the environment. Like, the little cups are so convenient. I mean, they don't make good coffee to begin with, but they're just, ugh, all in the landfills, just K-cups everywhere.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. And, like, my thing about it is just the biofilm that I'm sure that is all built up in there.
Mm.
So, like, I kind of want to crack it open and try to take a look and see what I can find, but I kind of don't at the same time. So, like, I started cold brewing my coffee, which I'm sure I've said more than once.
Mm.
And, like, I'm just at the point where I'm drinking far more of that than I think that I intended to.
Right.
Because, like, now I mix the cold brew with a Slim Fast shake, and I drink, and that's my breakfast in the morning.
What flavor is Slim Fast? Is it vanilla?
No, come on, chocolate.
Chocolate, okay. Well, a vanilla latte is a thing.
Ooh, I didn't even think of that.
I'm not giving That's you ideas. Idea. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, you shouldn't be putting your Slim Fast in your coffee. But
because then I get the caffeine and then I get the
protein,
the calories
for the
breakfast. Yeah,
that's good.
Works for me.
So, have you seen, or first of all, have you seen any edits or live video of Honor Roll being played?
Yes.
Can you avoid, can you open up your Facebook right now and tell me how many scrolls does it take for you to get to a live playing of Honor Roll?
I don't think I even have to. I think
it's everywhere. I mean,
but I don't have a problem with that. I mean, the only problem that I have is the fact that I would not enjoy playing it on any of the computers I own.
Yeah, I need it to be on PS4.
I'm very impatiently waiting on it for Xbox One.
Yeah.
But once it happens, I'm definitely going to buy a copy. I cannot wait.
So Honor Roll came out. It's our probably the first rollerblading game since John Julio's what was that one called?
Rolling.
No. Yeah. There was an iOS game.
Oh, Blading the Game.
Blading. This,
which if you bought when it was if you bought that when it was still in the App Store and it's tied to your Apple ID, in theory you could get it back onto your phone through Hardwire on iTunes. You just can't play it with cellular or Wi-Fi connection.
Oh, what does it do? Does it just
it just doesn't work? It closes.
Oh,
but that was also an iOS.
Yeah, it was 8? A long time ago.
Yeah, so I think that launched at like iOS 6 or 7 or something like that. Yeah, it was at least iOS 6 because it was before the color change for iOS 7. But yeah, it's been a while. That was a fun game, though. I liked playing that.
It's been a long time since we've had a game. I mean,
yes.
I've been thinking about doing a video. God, I got so many ideas for videos. I don't have enough time. I can't even watch VODs. So I've been thinking about doing a video about the history of rollerblading games. You know, going as far back as I could find, like the Rollerblade NES game. But
what was that one?
Oh, it was horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
That doesn't mean I don't want
to know. it was recreational. I don't think there were any ramps or anything. I never played it. I know of it.
It wasn't Skitchen, was it?
No. Did Skitchen have rollerblades in it?
I feel like it did. That doesn't mean that it did. I mean, I have been wrong on occasion.
Roller Games, that's what it was called. Rollerblade Racer, they had a couple games. I'll put a couple in the show notes. Oh, somebody asked where you can find the show notes. The show notes are at backtoblading.com/podcast/5, or just go to /podcast and you'll find everything. That's where you get the show notes.
So anyway, according to Wikipedia,
yes.
Skitchen is a video game for the Genesis from 93. Game puts the player in control of an inline skater who has to ride his skates while holding onto cars, bikes, and trucks. And that's called Skitchen.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
I'd like to know who's on the cover.
Of Skitchen?
Yeah.
I don't know. Rollerblade Racer is the one that I was thinking about. And Rollerblade Racer is horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like Paperboy. You remember?
Oh wow,
Paperboy.
I do remember Paperboy.
It's kind of like this isometric. You kind of go sideways. Here's just for you. I'll send this picture. Copy image. There we go. Oops. Copy image. I'll link this to you so that you can get on my level. Here you go. This is Rollerblade Racer. Hi, I'm Kirk. I just bought a new pair of rollerblades. It's really bad. Anywho.
So was this an actual rollerblade sanctioned game? Is that why they can use?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
It was an actual rollerblade game.
That's amazing.
So Honor Roll is nothing like this.
No.
Honor Roll is an excellent game. It reminds me of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater franchise where it's kind of like a free form. You skate around and do whatever you want. We've had games like that in the past. I think rolling the and aggressive inline were the two that were probably the best produced. John's game. God, what was the name? I can't remember. You just said it.
Blading the Game.
Blading. Was more of a simulator style than anything else to me, where like aggressive inline was comedic, like you skate fast and fire comes out of your skates sort of skate. Rolling was more simulation, I think, but it was more like Tony Hawk, where you could, you know, tweak things with gravity and you could do crazy tricks, but it was still kind of realistic. This is a very realistic, again, it's a realistic take on the tweak the gravity system. But it's gorgeous. I mean, it is really gorgeous. There's just, you look at this game, the graphics and the animations and everything compared to the old aggressive inline and the rolling games, and it's just night and day. I mean, it's stunning. And it's still pre-release. So they released it on Steam. If you have a PC, you can play it. I have Steam. I have a Mac, and I purchased it, and I was not able to play it. Yes, I can boot camp my Mac. No, I have not done that. Yes, I should, but I need to find time and a copy of Windows. It looks like it's getting a really great response. I'm seeing it posted a lot on Instagram and Facebook. I'm seeing a lot of Facebook live streams where people are playing and posting it to like a group so that people can watch them play. It's really cool. You know, my wishes, of course, would be that one of the things that rollerblading needs more than anything is this community thing. We definitely have our Facebooks and our Instagram, but it would be great if there were an online community sort of thing with Honor Roll, almost like a World of Warcraft sort of MMORPG, where you could be a skater in this world and go on a session with others. Like, that would be killer.
That would be pretty neat.
I think, you know, it's above the technology available for the amount of money and sizes of the studio. I think it's just two dudes, so what they've been able to produce is incredible. But you know, I have very high expectations for games, and you know, I think this is just scratching the tip of the iceberg. Everybody's really jazzed on it. I think we need more, more.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, I'm really excited about it. You know, it can't come out soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. Like when it first came into the ether, so to speak, mm-hmm. they were saying how it was going to be available for for next gen consoles. Uh-huh. And PCs, and I was like, well, I only have shit PCs, and I don't have a next-gen console, because I didn't have an Xbox One at the time.
Right.
So this was 2012, maybe? Mm-hmm. 2012, 2013, something like that. So I'm just like, well, I guess I'm not going to be playing Honor Roll anytime soon, or I'm going to buy an Xbox One when it comes out.
Yeah.
When Honor Roll comes out. So, and then that winter, like, my wife's work had their holiday party, and we won an Xbox One.
That's awesome.
My very first thought, like when they called her name out, like for the drawing, she's like, "Oh, we won the Xbox One." I was like, "Fuck yeah!" Now I don't have to buy a PC or an Xbox One for when Honor Roll comes out.
Yeah, totally.
And then I was like, "Why did I get so many?" Like, it came with like, it was like one of those like bundle packs, and it had like two Assassin's Creed games, and someone else threw in another Assassin's Creed game. Like, I'm never gonna finish those fucking games.
No, of course not. Yeah, we have a PS4 with Uncharted 4, and it's like, I'm never going to finish that. I just don't have the time. I game occasionally. I got really into Firewatch, which was an indie game that you could get on the PS4 live thing, whatever.
PSN.
And whatever. I really like the Switch. We got a Switch, and I played the hell out of Zelda, and
you got an NES Classic too, you son of a bitch. I'm mad at you for not buying one, but
I did have an NES Classic. I sold it. I wasn't really.
Really?
I didn't do anything with it. Like, it was just a thing. Yeah.
I knew.
Well, yeah, it wasn't
a thing. What are you going to do?
It's just this, I don't know. It's a neat concept, I think, but the controller cable was too short, and it was just this whole thing to get it all plugged in for me, and like the way that my living room is set up, the TV is on the other end, so like wireless controllers are kind of required. That's why the Switch is so great, because I don't have to take over the living room whenever I play. You know, I just grab the Switch and I could play. And, you know, my wife and I sit on the couch and she has her laptop and she's, you know, looking at her YouTubes and I'm doing the Switch. But yeah, I hope that, I don't think it's the same, foundational, like, framework. I don't know how easy it is to port stuff over to Switch, but I would love to play this on Switch. I mean, Switch is just such a great console, because it's in your hands. You know, having to sit down and set things up and turn on the PS4 and let it do its firmware updates and all that stuff, like, it's a whole process.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. I go on my Xbox so infrequently that usually 2 out of 3 times it has to do an update.
Yeah,
and like it just makes you want to throw the controller because like I just want to sit down and want to fucking shoot some Nazis while I play Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to sit there and wait 40 minutes while this fucking happens, and then I don't want to play anymore, and I play for 6 minutes, and I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Upstairs.
Going back to bed.
Yep, you're right. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to come out, but when it does come on PS4, I'm going to play it. I think they're saying February for it to come out on PS4.
Nice.
So it's going to be a little while, but definitely worth taking a look at if you have a PC. It is great. Again, a lot of people really like it, and the developers are really taking a good look at what works and what doesn't, and are making changes, responding to the community. So again, I love this. I think it's funny how small the community is, but how strong the community is at the same time.
For sure. Are you on Discord? Did you join the Honor Roll Discord?
No, I did not. I've seen it mentioned, but I have not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm one of the admin / moderators on there.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't opened my Discord app in almost a week. I'm a terrible moderator.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Sorry, Byron. So I'm actually looking at their the Honor Roll website right now.
Uh-huh.
They still have the countdown to the early release.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about websites. It's really hard to keep them up to date, I think.
I would rather them spend their time developing a great game than updating their website. So,
yeah, agreed.
Where is the system requirements? There it is. 7, i5, technically. Oh, yeah, no, I can't do it then. I definitely can't do it. You have to have a game controller and 5 gigs of available space. I don't have either.
I have my PS4 controller. I think that works. Doesn't your Xbox One controller work with your PC?
In theory.
No. It might work. I don't have a PC, but I have enough. I have enough hardware.
I'm trying to see what I have for. You have all the gigs. The Wi-Fi's and the GBs.
All the gigs and the Wi-Fi's and the GBs.
I'm trying to see what I have. Yeah, I technically have everything that I need. Provided that I can make it work. That I can make a controller work.
Mm-hmm.
DirectX. I'll have to look at my graphics card and see if what I have is available for it. But
cool. Yeah, I'd love to hear what you think. If you can get it working, I'd love to hear what you think. It's been a long time since I've been really into video games, but I'm really excited to see something.
For sure, I'll probably end up waiting until the console version comes out.
Yeah,
just because like I'm so excited about it, and I have such an expectation of having a ton of fun on it.
Right.
That if I end up like getting to where anytime I go fakey, the game resets, like it's going to frustrate me a whole lot and I'm not going to want to play it anymore. So I it's kind of like one of those like don't meet your idol type things.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
So that's kind of where I'm going to go with that. I'm just going to wait until the console comes out.
Yeah. I think they'll get all the bugs out by then. This is still super early release, so there's no shame in that.
Yeah, and I'm fine. I mean, I'm gonna enjoy it no matter what. Even if there is like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 level, you know, glitches and stuff in it, I'm fine.
No, it's rollerblading. I mean,
I'm gonna love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's rollerblading. You can't not love it. As long as it works.
Exactly. And even then, that's borderline. If it works 5 times out of 10, I'm okay with it.
Right.
You mentioned me in a comment 2 days ago on Instagram, and I'm just now seeing it for some reason.
Oh, what did I say?
It was with the Richard ad.
Oh, right. Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah, because I mentioned the MySpace URL.
Yeah, this might be a good closer. So I found...
No, it's not. We have something else to discuss.
Okay, so...
Why don't you like Unity's Law?
Are we going to get into it?
Yes, let's get into it, because I don't understand it.
Unity's.
Okay. So we'll talk about that, then we'll segue into the next topic we're going to talk about, then we'll talk about the Richard ad.
All right. Okay. So Unity's. I don't like pretzel tricks. I never have. I don't think I ever will.
So negative acids you don't like either?
Negative acids I don't like. Citric acids I don't like. Unity's I don't like. X-Grinds is pushing it. I don't know what it is. It's
personal
preference.
So you're
going to
stand there being a rollerblader and telling me you didn't like Billy Prism's VG8 section because
you
did some pretzel tricks?
I'm not saying I don't like watching them. I don't like doing them. All
right, fair.
Like,
okay.
I think it's...
That makes sense.
Yeah, though. I think it's fine to see somebody do them. I don't like doing them myself. I don't know what it is. It's like a forward...
Awkward as fuck. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, but some people, they're not. But it just... I don't know. It's like
did you see Billy Prism actually posted a clip of him doing a Savannah?
No, I didn't. Where was this?
On Instagram.
No way.
Allow me to link you.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
My fucking head exploded.
So was Billy on Ricardo's podcast? Was that where he was recently?
It was a little while ago, but yeah.
I know he's been, his name was somewhere. He wasn't on True Spin, was he? He was somewhere.
No, he was on, he did a thing with Ricardo.
Yeah, I remember seeing... I have a hard time listening to the Ricardo podcast just because... I think he's been pushing them out individually, but because they're all on YouTube, it's just... I listen to podcasts on the drive, and it's weird to have it on YouTube when I'm driving.
Yeah, like, if I paid for YouTube Red... Like, it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Maybe different.
But I don't pay for it, so here
Is
Link.
It was Ricardo that I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of this, I've been meaning to watch the interview he did with Michael Prado.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in, and he said like he put it out, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna listen to this / watch it. And then, like, the intro is, like, for those of you that only speak English, this is in Portuguese. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Yeah, like, that doesn't help.
Like, I have 8 hours where I work in a welding shop that, like, I do the same thing 18 to 22 times.
Right.
In that 8-hour time frame, and I need something to distract my brain or I'm going to shoot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have a good time.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I wanted to listen to it real bad, especially because of, you know, what he went through when, you know, like, whatever happened with that skateboard, and he ended up getting hospitalized and in a coma and everything like that. I wanted to hear that story.
Right.
Now I have to read it.
Yeah, it's rough.
I'll watch it. Yeah, first world problems, for sure.
Well, right,
back to Billy Prism.
Yes.
Did you watch that clip? Prism.
I just did, yes. Excellent, excellent, right? Excellent. So, first of all... I do Google search on Billy Prism, and I see that he's skating for Flying Eagle.
I don't know about skating for them, but he is skating Flying Eagle skates.
There is a post. Is it the Circolo Vimeo?
Yeah, that's Jeff Lynette.
It says Billy Prism for Flying Eagle Skate. So I don't know if he is or not, but let me send you this link.
Because Billy, like, I kind of talked with Billy a little bit, like, right when he started up again.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying how he wanted to get back into blading to get back into shape and everything like this.
Sure.
And I was like, well, what do you want to do? And he had a free skate set up, kind of like you had.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, well, I have these, you know, and he was trying to get like different wheels for him and stuff like that. I think he had some like some dupe 80 millimeter wheels in him that just weren't very good. Like he skated those things like till they were like 70 millimeter. Huh. He skated the shit out of those.
Sure.
But he was, like I was kind of talking with him a little bit, like about all sorts of stuff, like, you know, tour life when he was on Solomon and, you know, some of the decisions that he ended up making that kind of got him, you know, his fall from grace, so to speak.
Sure.
You know, which I'm not going to get into any specifics because it's just not my, it's not my bag to get into, but he had an interesting journey for sure.
Yeah.
And, it was really awesome to be able to hear that, you know, from the horse's mouth. And, it was great to see that he wanted to still rollerblade. Like even if he was just, you know, bombing some hills and stuff like that, you know, it was awesome. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Like you need to hit up Flying Eagle. He's like, I've already been talking to Jeff.
Cool.
And I was like, talk to Jeff, talk to Tracy, talk to anybody you can there. Cause they're going to, you know, if they have somebody that says like, this guy is someone that you should be giving product to, or right. or you guys should be supporting somehow, they're going to do it. You know, they're right. awesome people. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about Flying Eagle.
Flying Eagle seems like a good brand. I don't know much about them. Again, we talked about it a little earlier, but I'd like to try a set. I don't know. They seem fine.
So when the time comes, just know it's high quality plastics. It's not cheap shit.
Cool.
They make great stuff.
Cool.
So we have a we've kind of talked on the what are they calling them, the legacy or the
USDs?
Yeah, the new Aeons.
I don't know what they're calling them. It's a good question.
Fucking not available now. And I want them because I want those red cuffs.
Yeah, they look good. Who posted it? Was it to it was on one of the Facebooks. Oh, it was a Roller Warehouse. Roller Warehouse had an ad. And I don't know when they're out yet. But the Roller Warehouse catalog had them. The Pro Legacy, I guess they're called, Pro Model Aeons have started to get out there. And I saw Richard got his. And just randomly, I found a hard drive. I don't know if it was on, I don't know what it was, but I was just, you know, cleaning up my office, my home office, and I found an old hard drive with a lot of old 50-50 stuff. It was like the last few years that I was, you know, part of the company. And I saw the Richard, the old Richard Pulp Fiction style ad where he's got the core system frame. Which looked really good, by the way. The red core with the white frame and the red lettering. It was a really pretty frame. But he's holding it up like a gun. It's a pretty good shot. Pretty good ad. So I posted it and I think I tagged Jess on it. And he tagged Richard on it, and I looked at Richard's Instagram, and I didn't even consider that, didn't even think about Richard, to be completely honest. Like I'd never thought about it. But he posted that he's trying to get back into skating. He said, "I will be back," in his Instagram.
It's I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime I'd ever see him skate anything, he doesn't seem like he's lost anything. I talked to somebody who was an AM for Senate, and I think maybe even for 50-50 guy. He was saying how like Richard looked at skating a different way. Like he skated like he was playing basketball.
Yes.
And like I didn't really understand it. And then like I kind of watched a couple of his edits with that in mind. I was like, huh, he is approaching it as if as an athlete, not necessarily as a quote unquote soul skater like for Team Puff and Sons and shit. But I mean, like I didn't see that as a bad thing. Like,
right.
It was still enjoyable to watch him skate. Like it looked like he was. I don't want to say struggling like it was something that it was difficult for him to do, but like he was approaching it as, I want this to be difficult for me because I want to put forth more effort into it.
Yeah. He always had a, not cocky, but like just a, you know, when you see people the basketball court, like, it's just a very different style. Like, you know, it's hard to explain, but just, you know, he knows that he's good and he's just going at it like, I've got this, you know, like just a little suave, a little like, yeah, that just really confident style. I mean, I would love to see him skate again. I don't know anything about what he's been up to, why he stopped skating. I see that he has a kid. I was looking at his Instagram and, it's, you know, it's cool. Like people grow up, you know, there's not a lot of skating in his Instagram, but you can see that, he hangs out with Frankie a lot, apparently. He's got a picture of the Roller Warehouse, Roller Warehouse, catalog in there. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That too. I just got that the other day and, It's always fun to see those. Like, I always get excited when that time of year comes around, like the two times they come out. I get excited to get them because I want to see the new shit. And then I realize that I'd already seen all the new shit.
Yes.
But I mean, I still love getting them. Like it's still an exciting thing for me to get. Like, I would literally stand in my driveway for 10 minutes and look through that thing. But I always love getting those. I got an Intuition catalog last season too, and same thing, stood in the driveway for 10 minutes looking through it, and I was like, this is awesome.
I wonder if they have an effect on sales. Like, you gotta assume they do, but or they wouldn't be doing them. I mean, Roller Warehouse has had a catalog for forever. I mean it's strange to me, in a world where, you know, instant gratification, and you know, you pull your iPhone out and you look at the website, like there is definitely a need for a print media showing up at your house that you can put on your coffee table and look at.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like I reached out to Roller Warehouse a couple years ago and asked if they, like, when I got that stack of stuff on my desk at the call center, mm-hmm. like I'd reached out to them 4 or 5 months before then, and just said, hey, like, is there any way that I can buy old back issues of catalogs? And they're like, you want to buy back issues of catalogs? Which are you looking for, something specific? I was like, anything from 2003 and older.
Right.
They're like, we'll take a look and we'll see what we get. And they sent me like 7.
No way.
They sent me a bunch of old stuff. And I was really excited about it. And it was really fun. When I got those, like, I was just like, wow, what am I going to do with myself right now?
Yeah.
And then my wife's like, what's this? And I was like, old don't catalog. She's like, why do you have old catalog? Basically, I'm going to just, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to buy anything.
You wouldn't understand.
You don't have it anymore.
Is Roller Warehouse the oldest online shop still around? I know Aggressive Mall was around the same time, but Roller Warehouse was there before Aggressive Mall it's probably around the same time. I mean, they've got to be older. They've got to be older than the Aggressive Mall.
I can recall Roller Warehouse being around longer.
Yeah.
But like, I'm trying to think, like, shops that I used to buy from were like Teen Paradise, like other than local.
Yeah.
Shops,
Teen Paradise.
Teen Paradise, Roller Warehouse, Skate Pile, Cheap Skaters in New York.
Yeah. Did you ever buy from Skate House in Portland?
No.
They were pretty big. Mm-mm. It looks like Aggressive Mall was 96, and I know Roller Warehouse was before that.
Yeah, I think they were like, what, 94, 93?
Probably 94. My money would be on 94. Yep, 94. Good call.
Well, and interestingly, I had a buddy who got back into it a couple years back, mm-hmm. and he reached out to Roller Warehouse and wanted to order some stuff. And he said, man, I really wish you guys had some of the old Oxygen Argons and like the AR stocks, the gold mm-hmm. ones. Mm-hmm. And he was just, and whoever was talking to him, which I think might have been Hurt, was like, yeah, the owner has a pair of those, brand new in box, sitting in the warehouse. We'll never get rid of them. I was like, then why are they there? He just likes them. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Do you know, but, have you ever chatted with Gil, Roller House Gil?
I think we've had like a couple of interactions on Facebook or Instagram, but I haven't had the good fortune to chit chat with him.
Great dude. If you want to talk about tattoos, Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah.
He's got, I mean, he's got his whole back down to his ass crack, like this huge piece. I'll see if I, it might be not safe for work, but he's I mean, he should be, but he's extremely proud of it. Like this full, I'm sure he's got more done since, I mean, I haven't seen him in 15 years. But yeah, I mean, down to the ass crack, this incredible full color piece.
Is that all like skate stuff?
No,
I feel like there was, okay.
No, I don't know that he was ever like really a skate guy. I don't know.
Okay.
Gil Roller Warehouse. Tattooed. I'll have to hunt for it. He's a pretty intense guy.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you'd have to be to get into rollerblading as a business venture, especially as a retailer.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he hasn't shut the shop down or anything yet.
No, it was him and another guy. I don't remember the other guy's name. That were always, I don't know if they're the owners or if they were just the guys in charge, but, Gil is who we always used to deal with. And yeah, I mean, he's been there forever.
Gotcha. Oh no. Aggressive Mall still has the Trust Special Ops liners.
What are those?
The fuck, do they still have those? It was the liner that was like the creme de la creme of downsizable liners.
Hmm.
Wow. They have them in 6, 7, 8, 9 and size 14. In the white. They're not bad liners. They're not great liners. But I mean, they had to be made very thin and everything to be able to get into a smaller boot. I couldn't make them work because of the V13 was smaller than my foot was to begin with. But
sure,
it's a comfortable liner. You know, I know a couple people who really rely on those to not have to skate a 12 skate.
Yeah, but,
I mean, I don't know if I would go back to those unless I absolutely had to, like if that was the only thing that was available. But, I mean, Power Slide is putting out some pretty sweet liners right now, so I'm not going to bitch about it.
Yeah, the liner world is – and have you ever skated Intuition liners? You must have with the SX, right?
Yeah, I've skated two pair, and I've tried on a third.
Okay.
But I skated a pair of nines that Leon had in those SX when I skated the Wizard frames.
Uh-huh.
And they're phenomenal liners. They really, really are. If you want to get something that's it's solid, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
The only downside that I felt, and I don't know if this was just because my feet were getting tired from getting squished, it felt like the footbed got soft after about an hour and a half.
Hmm.
But that may just be from like the heat of my feet, like kind of like getting the memory foam like around my feet a little better.
Yeah.
But that also just could be like my feet going numb and like feeling weird tingles and stuff too, though. So
right.
But they're great liners. You know, they're expensive, but yeah, they're great liners.
They're expensive because they're worth it, I would assume. Like,
yeah, that's the general consensus. Todd and Joey say a lot of really great things about them.
Right.
But I mean, there's a reason.
Yeah.
They're great liners. They're very comfortable. They're going to last forever. They're not going to come apart, through like a friction point, like a liner that you would, like a jug liner or something like that, or like a normal aftermarket right. liner.
Right. I think there was a Spellcaster podcast with, it was Tom and Leon were talking. It was just Tom and Leon.
Okay.
It was like the first one. And he was explaining the whole background about how ShopTask and Intuition were working together to work on this liner, and how Leon was providing a lot of feedback and helped build this thing. And it doesn't get a royalty on it or whatever, but it's like this, like kind of his brainchild in a lot of ways. I'm at a point now where I think I know what I like in skates. You know, and I'll start skating some Aeons in a couple of weeks, I hope. As soon as I get back from California, I'll start skating them, I think. that will be like of the like I'm really interested in eventually building a resource for like reviews in different price points. So of the $150 skates, you know, under $200 skates, what are the best for you? Like, what's the best for your money? Under the $300 and under skate, $350 and under skate, or whatever. Definitely the Seba with the Intuition liner is in that higher, like $600, $700 range.
It's
don't even know. I mean, that's not including the frames. Like if you want a full wizard setup, then you're up there.
For sure.
But like, I need to know at this level what's good before I can get to that level. But eventually I want to get there where I can have like a review of all different price points. Just to know, like there's a lot of questions out there and it's hard, especially in the States, not having skate shops. You know, I'm extremely fortunate to have Oak City nearby, but they don't carry a lot, you know. Long's got, you know, very limited inventory. I think he has some Seba stuff in, but I don't think he has any Intuition liners. If he does, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, I know we had some at one point. I don't know if he's been able to re-up or not, but it really is a great liner. What else? Oh, speaking of shops that are nearby, there's a new shop that's going to be opening up. Well, not opening up, but there's a new shop that's in Pottstown, which is about an hour and a half from me.
Oh.
That is getting into aggressive.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Jeff. Like I was telling you about, like Jeff Akers was asking about, you know, the Philly Skaters group, the Philly Bladers group.
Right.
So I was like, should I message him? Yeah. So I hit him up and he was just like, yeah, you know, there's a shop in Potts, you know, and there's a shop that's going to be opening up. It's going to be, you know, getting into aggressive soon. I was like, can you tell me about it? Cause like, I didn't want to just say, well, fuck you, tell me, dude.
Yeah.
So he was just like, yeah, it's Bentley's skate shop or something like that. They do a lot of, roller derby stuff right now.
Okay.
They're like in a mall and stuff like that. And they have this thing where I guess like once a month or something, they let people go and skate in the mall and everything, like just skate around.
Cool.
So I was like, that sounds pretty neat. That's not terribly far. Maybe I'll make a trip out there. So I sent the shop a message on Facebook and I was like, hey, you know, I've been, you know, in aggressive for a long time and I do a podcast about people that are coming back into blading. I'd love to see if you guys need anything. How do you feel about XYZ product? Like, I'll give you any of my opinions, or if you have questions about something. I know that sounds kind of pretentious, but like,
sure,
I want to be able to help you guys because it's great to have, you know, another shop in the area.
Yeah. And you don't want them to just open up and say, oh, well, we carried Rollerblade brand aggressive skates and they didn't sell, so now we're not doing aggressive. Like, there's nothing wrong with Rollerblade brand, but if you're an aggressive shop, it's great that Razors would be on the list, you know?
Yeah.
It's an aggressive brand, and I think aggressive skaters are going to look, or, you know, expect to walk in and see different wheels and different frames, and like, it's a lot for a new shop to understand. It's a very overwhelming product catalog.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much that aggressive rollerblading is, or aggressive inline skating, is such a niche niche group.
Right.
That Frank Stoner said a lot on the Mushroom Blading podcast. What did he call it? I'm completely spacing on what he called it. The cognitive load of aggressive inline skating. Mm-hmm. Is phenomenal. Like, even if you just look at televising the Blading Cup,
right,
you know, and just say, all right, so, you know, Alex Broskow does a disaster backslide to, you know, to Ali Fishbrain revert out, you know, how are you going to explain that to somebody that has no idea what it is and they just happen to see it and it looks interesting?
Right.
So
it is. I mean, you mentioned a few podcasts ago, I believe, about Frank Stoner's Jason Marshall one Did you mention that, or am I coming up with?
Frank did talk about Jason Marshall specifically regarding the Far Side alley-oop solo that he did in VG4.
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about, and there was an article about it, about how Jason Marshall's VG4 section had a what we would call what would we call it, alley-oop top soul, I guess, 360 out nowadays. But it was like, what do you call that? Like, that's a super complicated. He puts it better. I'll make sure that I link it. It is confusing for normal people to try to understand rollerblading. If it's just a front flip, you can explain a front flip. If it's a double front flip, you can explain a double front flip.
Yeah.
But then
if it's a flat spin.
If it's a flat spin versus a bio, like, all right. Now you're in versus a misty flip.
Compared to a corkscrew.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's like, I don't think I even understand, the concept of a cork 720 or whatever. I mean, like,
I'm not.
I could see it and then be like, oh, so that's a corkscrew. Okay. So yeah, look at anything Roman Abrate does. I mean, that guy Abrate.
I think so.
Say that right, but
yeah, close enough.
God, this stuff. I could watch that guy. He needs a DVD like Dustin Latimer had.
Yes.
Like I could watch 2 hours of Roman Abrate skating, and probably never be bored.
He's
so
incredible.
Fucking good.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's the French Brian Aragon. Is he French?
It sounds French.
European. Let's call it European because I don't want to offend anybody.
Sounds French.
I don't want to get that wrong.